doesn't make much sense when you look at it from the outside, but the facts on the ground show that the Seleka are preying on the weak and the unarmed, and they are arbitrarily killing civilians, including women and children. To answer your question as to why, it gets a little bit more complicated. In some cases, we found, especially outside of Bangui, that these killings were in some ways reprisal killings, which would mean that an individual from one village might take a shot at one of the Seleka, and then the Seleka will destroy the entire village and wantonly kill civilians. However, in the capital, the killing of civilians was in many cases directly linked to looting and pillaging.
I assume that there are still supporters of the former president Bozize. Would these reprisals be against Msach?
Well, we are seeing, but we're not able to confirm, but we are seeing violence in the north, especially around Bosangoa, and that is considered to be Bozize's stronghold. However, according to our research, these were not targeted killings against loyalists to Bozize. On the contrary, they were arbitrarily killing civilians, and it's very important to make that distinction. They were not targeting people who they perceived to be enemies of the Seleka. They were simply arbitrarily killing civilians.
Tell us more about the report. Why is it titled, I Can Still Smell the Dead?
The title comes from an interview that I had in early June in a village called Wain. And it's a town in northern Car where the Seleka killed 10 people. It's a small town. They arbitrarily killed 10 people there, five of whom they had coaxed out of the village under the pretenses of some type of reconciliation. They tied them up and they extrajudicially executed them. When I was traumatized residents of these villages who were living in the bush, who had to come out and meet me, one of them sat down and in his grief and in his exhaustion said to me, you know, we buried 10 of our villagers here and I can still smell the dead. I thought it was a poignant expression that really wrapped up the helplessness of the people outside of Bangui, and therefore we chose that as the title.
How did Human Rights Watch, you that is, go about gathering this evidence without stepping on the toes of the Seleka, so to speak?
Well, as I said earlier, the Seleka only prey on the weak, and we were able to move around both in Bangui and outside with confidence. And because of that, they were very unsure of us and what we were doing. We interviewed Seleka leaders outside of the capital who openly admitted that they had destroyed villages, that they had attacked villagers, and that they had burned homes. So at the moment when I was doing my research, the Seleka was still not really accustomed to having people come ask questions and having people cross their checkpoints, especially foreigners. So we were able to get through relatively easy. We had no problems with this in terms of security.
And the report also calls this a forgotten human rights crisis in the Central African Republic. Are you referring to that media attention is not as much as it was after the overthrow of Bozize? Or are you talking about international attention from bodies such as the UN, the African Union, and all that?
Absolutely. While there has been some movement, especially on the African Union side, with the transformation of the peacekeeping mission from a regional one to an African Union-led one, at Human Rights Watch, we strongly feel that the situation in Car is being simply overlooked. These are some of the world's most marginalized and impoverished people, and they are now under incredible pressure and strain by the Seleka. And frankly, we feel it's not getting the coverage that it should be. And that translates into the international community not taking any action. You know, if an issue is not being discussed, there's going to be very little reason to take up the cause of people who are living in these conditions. So we are trying to shine a light on what's happening. We are trying to shine a light on the human rights abuses, which translate also into humanitarian situations, and to try to generate some support for broad action at the UN level and supporters of CAR level in support for the AU mission.
Now, tell us about the recruitment of children recruited to be part of this carnage, some as young, apparently, or even younger than 13.
Yeah, I mean, every time we spoke with Seleka regarding children, they denied it, but the facts simply spoke for themselves. On repeated missions to the Central African Republic, I saw firsthand children as young as 12 or 13 years old fighting for the Seleka. And the fact that they can deny it is, in many ways, flies in the face of what we saw, which is evidence of children. We were not able to do a standard of proof that would hold up in a court of law that these were children. We were not able to see the birth records. However, in town after town, we saw very young fighters that we classify as being